I think one of the things that we struggle with sometimes as Christians is coming to grips with our responsibilities as Christians. Because Jesus, when he left us with certain commandments and certain things he wanted us to do. But we often sometimes feel like, you know, we just can't do those things. We can't measure up to doing what he has asked us to do in his word. And so this morning, I want you to know that you are not alone. It has happened before when someone has left and then another person was to take over the reins and continue to bring to pass the things that have been promised. We're going to look at this morning a record in the Old Testament. But before we do, I want to spend time on four places in the New, because it's important to know who we are in Christ. Look in Romans chapter 8. And none of these verses are going to be a surprise to you. You've read them before. You probably have them memorized. But it's important to put your eyes on the page. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, we read, it says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." In all of what things? Okay. Go back up to verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." But in verse 37 it says, no, that's not the way it works. We are more than conquerors. Okay? We are more than conquerors. 1 John. So because of what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross, we are more than conquerors. In 1 John, look at chapter 3. Look at verse 1. It says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called" what? "The sons of God." And you can put daughters in there too. Sons and daughters of God. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, in the sweet by and by, you're going to be the sons and daughters of God. Beloved, after you die and go to heaven, you're going to be sons and daughters of God." No, it says right now, you are God's son and daughter. Right now. Okay? "And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know, we have no doubts, we are assured that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Okay? We're going to see Jesus as he is. We're going to be just like him. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, you'll read that and say, well, you know I got my spiritual blessings, but what does that do for me here now? Okay? We all know that everything happens in the spiritual realm first before it's manifested in this world. That's the way it works. Everything happens spiritually first before it's manifested. Okay? And that's important for you to know. That's important for you to know. That the blessings are already in heaven. Now we have to access them to make them appear here. Okay? Verse 4. "According as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children." And those of you who know anything about Roman adoptions, when you go through an adoption, you become more of a son sometimes than you do when you were legally born in that household. Okay? So, "the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will." So what we read here in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, when it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, it's not like God says, okay, Barry, you're in, Stephen, you're out, Alice, you're in, Jerry, you're out, Donna, you're in, Judy, you're out. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that God made a decision that whoever decided to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, they were going to be sons and daughters. That's what that means. It's not predestination that, you know, some of us are going to heaven and some not. No, it's that whoever decides that they're going to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're going to heaven. OK, because God made a predetermined decision that whoever did that would be accepted. OK. Now, knowing who you are does not mean you are going to act like who you are. OK. Now, when I was growing up, my mom made it very clear to us when we were not acting like who we are. OK. Because when we would be out at the store and we'd be running and doing all the things that she didn't want us to do, my mom would come up, grab us by the arm, and she'd take her hand and just rub our ear real, real hard. Have you ever had that done to you? It's not a good feeling. It hurts. It burns. But she was letting us know, you're not acting like who you are. Okay? When I was growing up, too, I grew up, I had the blessing of growing up in a neighborhood where everyone knew everybody. Okay? And so the moment that you did something that you weren't supposed to do, I'm going to tell John on you. I'm going to tell Dorothy because I know they raised you better than that. Okay? And see, that's the same way it is with God. Now that we belong to Him, there are certain ways that we're supposed to act. Okay? Because now we're God's sons and daughters. We now represent Him, okay? Because my mom would tell you, you know, you out there, you represent me, okay? And so you're not going to be acting a fool and representing me, okay? I'm going to take care of that, okay? And so God, we represent Him, okay? Now, look in Joshua chapter 1. And then go back a couple of pages to Deuteronomy chapter 34, okay? We're going to see an Old Testament example of what it means to know that you have a job to do, know that you have responsibilities, and you're not ready for it. Can I get a witness? Okay? You're not ready for it. That's us. That's us. Joshua knew that he was going to lead the children of Israel after Moses. He knew that. Okay? And yet, when the time came, he was not ready. Oh, Brother Barry, yes, he was ready. I mean, he's got a whole book written after him. Sure, he was ready. Well, we're going to take a look at that. We're going to see in very quickly, he was not ready. But before we do that, let's talk about his Jesus, i.e. Moses. Okay? Because Moses was to him what Jesus is to us. Okay? So in Deuteronomy chapter 34, Moses has just finished blessing the children of Israel, okay? And the thing that I look at when I read Deuteronomy 31, 32, and 33 is that Moses tells them, you know, I'm getting ready to die. God has already told me I'm not going to be able to enter in the promised land, okay? God has told me that he's going to let me see it, but he's not going to let me go in. But I got a warning for you. When I die, many of you are going to go back to doing the things that you were doing that got you stuck here for 40 years. Okay? You're going to start chasing after other gods. You're going to start doing everything that God does not want you to do. And that's what got you stuck in this desert for 40 years, walking around this same mountain. Joshua heard that. Okay? Joshua heard that. Look at verse 4 in chapter 34. And the Lord said unto him, unto Moses, this is the land. In verses 1, 2, and 3, he gave him an idea of what the land looked like. Verse 4, he says, and the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see with thine eyes. God gave him a vision. This is what this land, Moses, looks like. Okay? But thou shalt not go thither. Okay? This is what this land looks like, Moses. But you can't go into it. Now, Why couldn't Moses go into the land? We all know it's because he struck the rock. Okay? But let's look at that for just a brief minute. Numbers chapter 20. In Numbers chapter 20, look at verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock. Okay? Now, when you read about him speaking to the rock, what he was doing is reminding them of the rock, Jesus. Okay? Moses had a revelation about Jesus. Okay? You can read that in Hebrews. It tells you he knew Jesus was coming. He knew that the children of Israel had to go into the promised land in order for part of the promise of Jesus' coming. Okay? So he's talking about the rock here. It's not this literal rock that he's talking about. He was supposed to be pointing the people to the rock that was coming. Okay? Speak you unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall bring forth his water. Whenever has a rock become a his? Okay? He's to bring forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. What did Jesus say? Out of your belly shall flow what? Living waters? Okay? And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we, fetch you water out of this rock? See, Moses is agitated. He's not happy. Because, you know, he's been putting up with the children for a long, long time. And, you know, it's kind of like he's saying, okay, I've had it. We're done. Okay? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock. What did God tell him to do? Speak. Okay? He smote the rock, and not only did he smote it, he hit it twice. And the water came out abundantly. See, God kept his word. And the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And then look what verse 12 says. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not. Because you believed me not. Okay? For effect. Because you believed me not. They didn't go into the promised land because of what? Unbelief. You see that? Now, Pastor is working on a series about our inheritance. Okay? I think he's, what, 6 or 7 messages into it. What is the thing that's going to keep us from seeing our inheritance now? Unbelief. Okay? That's the only thing that's going to keep you from not seeing your inheritance is unbelief. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the people. You disrespected me, Moses, in the eyes of the people. And you wonder why they disrespect me? Look what you did. They would disrespect me. You disrespect me. Okay? In the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. You are not going to do it, Moses. Okay? Look at chapter 27. In chapter 27, look at verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this Mount Abraham and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. I'm getting ready to show it to you, Moses. And when thou hast seen it, thou shalt be gathered unto thy people as Aaron thy brother was gathered. So Aaron is already dead now. Verse 14, for ye did what? Rebelled. This is a very simple mathematical formula. Okay? Rebellion equals... Why did Moses and Aaron not go into the promised land? Unbelief. You see that? Rebellion equals unbelief. Very simple. So let me ask you something. When God tells us to do something, we don't do it because we don't believe it's going to work. What is that?
Rebellion.
Rebellion. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, I think it's verse 22, God says rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. There is no difference in my book, people. When you rebel against me, that's numero uno, not a good thing. Okay? So the issue for God was unbelief and the fact that it resulted in rebellion. That's God's issue, rebellion. How many times have we read in God's word, hearken unto the Lord thy God, if thou wilt obey the Lord thy God to do all that he has commanded you? How many times have we read that in the word? But see, we say, well, Barry, that was the Old Testament. That doesn't apply today. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. I mean, when you look at what runs through Scripture, it's obedience or not obeying. That's what runs through Scripture. Everything falls on whether or not we're going to hear and obey. Everything. Everything. But I give my tithe and I work in the church and I do all this. And so you think that by doing things, you can still be in rebellion and get what God wants you to have? I'm cleaning off my shoes because you know what that is. You know what that is. Okay? But see, we as a people, as Christians, we want to do things for God instead of just obey him. I mean, it's easier to do something rather than just obey him. Okay? I cannot tell you the number of times that my mom used to get so angry at us. Didn't I tell you to do this? Didn't I tell you to do this? Didn't I tell you to do this over and over and over and over and over? But, you know, when you got a sin nature, you know, you're just doing what you are raised to do, okay, until you get born again. So Moses rebelled. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin. In the strife of the congregation to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that the water of Meribah in Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. Okay? So that is why Moses and Aaron did not get a chance to go into the promised land. But look at what God says about Moses in verse 34, in verse 5 of chapter 34. So Moses, the servant of the Lord. He disobeyed God. He rebelled against God, but he was a servant of the Lord. Do you know that there's no higher calling, no higher label than someone can put on you and then call you a servant, which means you are a slave? That's the highest calling there is. Because see, when you are a servant, when you are a slave to God, then when Jesus says, Peter, I need your boat, Peter said, you got it. I don't know why you want it, but you got it. Okay? Obedience happens first. Okay? And as you obey God's word, the faith comes. Because, see, there's no faith without God's word. There's no faith without being obedient to God's word. So as you are obedient to God's word, your faith comes. And just like we sang earlier, we look forward to the day when our faith becomes what? Sight. In other words, we see what it is we're believing for. Okay? Now, the servant of the Lord died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. Okay, so Moses was the servant of God. He was also God's friend. Okay, Joshua knew all of this, guys. Look in Exodus chapter 33. In Exodus chapter 33, And in verse 11, and I love this verse, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his," what? "Friend." Wow. Wow. I don't know how many of you were here. I don't know how many months ago it was that Pastor Jimmy Miller was here. And the message he delivered for the series was "A Friend of God." There, you know, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 real close friends. Okay? So when I read this verse about God and Moses was his friend because he knew him face to face as he does a friend, that says something to me. That says something to me. They had a relationship that at this point Barry doesn't have. And you know what makes that so sad? Moses don't, he didn't have what I have, which is God's life and nature. And yet he had a closer relationship to God than I do. Barry, what is your problem? My problem is I'm not doing what is required of me to have that kind of relationship. Okay? Look in Psalm 103. While you hold your finger in Joshua chapter 1 and Deuteronomy 34. Psalm 103. This one, I just shook my head. I shook my head. Okay? Look in verse 7. Verse 6, "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." Verse 7, "He made known his ways to Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." You see that? He made known his ways to Moses. The children of Israel saw what he did. In other words, Moses knew why he did what he did. Okay? And see, when you know why God does something, then you're not surprised about at what he does. Because see, Moses knew God face to face. He knew God's character. He knew that when he saw something that God did, he knew why God did it. And see, that was the reason God gave the children of Israel the Ten Commandments. Because he wanted them to know that this is who I am. So when you see me doing things that look like it's against my character, this is who I am. Okay? This is why I did that. This is my character. Yeah, you saw the acts of what I did, but look at the acts in line with my character. So if I do something that seems to be out of character, it's not. You just have to look deeper into those Ten Commandments to see my character, to see why I did it. Okay? But see, we are people who we see something that happens and we give God the credit whether he deserves it or not. Okay? Why do we do that? Because we say God is sovereign. Nothing happens without God. He approves it. He permits it. He allows it, however you want to put it. No. No. God will allow what you allow. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I'm going to make man to look like me, act like me, okay? And I'm going to give him dominion. So, I'm going to put him in this garden. And he's going to rule the garden. He's going to take care of it, okay? When did God take the dominion back? Show it to me. He didn't, okay? So, whatever you allow, God's going to allow because he gave you dominion. You see that? It's on you. He gave you the dominion, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 34. You know, this is some good stuff, guys. I'm telling you, this is some good stuff. Look at verse 6. God buries Moses. Okay? "And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Bethpor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher until this day." What is the thing that just stands out about this verse? God buried Moses. Who else did God ever bury in Scripture? Nobody. He buried Moses. Yeah, Moses made him mad. Moses ticked him off. And because Moses did that, he wasn't going to the promised land. But God was telling the children of Israel, you know something? I knew Moses' heart, people. He and I spent time together. So, yeah, he made me mad back in the wilderness of Zin. But you know what? I love him so much, I'm burying him. I'm doing this one. You guys, no. You are not worthy to bury Moses. I'm doing this one. Okay? Look at verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Hold up. Wait a minute. Wait. He didn't have any eye problems. There was nothing wrong with him physically, and he died. You know why? God told him, it's time. It's time. Because I'm ready to take the children into the promised land. And since you can't go, it's time. Okay? It's time. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so that the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. Okay, let's stop here for a minute. Go back to Numbers 27. Remember in Numbers 27 where we read that God had told Moses, you're not going to go into the promised land because of what you did? The very next verse in Numbers 27, verse 15. Let's look at it. If I can find it. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. Since I'm not going to take them in, God, who do you want to take them in? Okay. Which may go out before them, which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that this congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. So Moses had been the shepherd, and he now knows he's not going to be able to continue to hold that job, so now he's trying to find someone else. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua. Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. Set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him. Thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. Verse 22, and Moses did as the Lord commanded. He obeyed. And he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. Okay? So Joshua knew about a year beforehand that he was going to be leading Israel. He knew that. The entire congregation knew that. Okay? Now, with that background, well, let's finish reading Deuteronomy first. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. That's the second time we have been told that. Do you think it's important that God wants to know us face to face? I think so. Because, see, if we know God face to face, then the lives that we live right now are going to be immeasurably different. Night and day. In all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to the land, and in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all of Israel. Okay? Moses was the standard. Joshua knew that. Joshua knew that. See, Jesus is our standard. And we know that. Okay? Look in Joshua chapter 1. And I want to read straight through 9 verses, because that's where I'm going to stop. And then we're going to go back. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, again, notice Moses is defined as a servant of the Lord. Okay? It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place, Joshua, that the sole of your foot shall touch, shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the land of Hittites is Canaan. Okay, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Verse 5, there shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, Joshua, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong, Joshua. Be of good courage, Joshua. For unto this people shall thou divide for inheritance the land. In other words, it's because of your leadership, Joshua, you're going to bring these people into their inheritance. For an inheritance the land, which I swear unto thy father to give them. Only be thou strong and courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law, Joshua, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, Joshua, okay, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9. Have I not commanded thee, Joshua? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Okay, let's go back to verse 1. Now, Joshua is Israel's new leader. Okay? And in verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, the minister, saying, I want you to hear what he tells Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead, Joshua. Okay? He's dead. He's not coming back, Joshua. So let me ask you something. Joshua knows he's going to be the leader of Israel, right? He understands that. He knows that. A year ago, he found that out. They mourned for Moses for 30 days. Joshua had not stepped into that leadership role. Think about that for a minute. God has to tell Joshua, he's dead, Joshua. He's not coming back. That's what it says. Moses, my servant, is dead, Joshua. He's not coming back. Okay? Now, therefore, Joshua, get up! Get up! And do what I told you to do a year ago when this time was going to happen. Get up, Joshua. Arise. Go over to the Jordan, all this people. I've already promised you the land. You see that? It's almost like Joshua is, you know, I understand how he's feeling. No, he has spent his whole life with Moses, okay, doing what Moses wanted him to do, following Moses' example, Okay? And now Moses is gone. When my mom died, it was like there was a fog that just came over me. And you know how you just become listless and you just, something has to happen to trigger you to come out of that fog for a while. And then after that fog, after you do that, you kind of go back into that fog. So I can understand what Joshua was going through. So God comes to Joshua, 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 Joshua. That's the image I have in my head. Moses is dead. Okay. Now for us, Jesus is not here. He's not dead, but he's not here. Okay. Get up. Get up. The works that I do, ye shall do also. John 14:12. But you cannot do those works as long as you're not rising to the challenge. Okay? See, Jesus told us, you know, when I'm gone, then I expect you to do the same things that I did. Moses is gone. Joshua, I expect you to lead the children into the promised land. Okay? So Moses is dead. So Joshua then took Moses' place. That's the type that we see here in this verse. We take Jesus' place. Okay? Well, in a matter of speaking, since he's in us, you know, we just kind of take him with us when we go. But, you know, work with me. Work with me. Now, verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon unto the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites unto the great sea toward the going down of the shore of the sun shall be your coast. Okay? So God reminds Joshua that I have already given you the land. Okay? I have already given you the land. Now, Joshua, you have a role to play in seeing the promise fulfilled. Because, see, Joshua, if you don't arise, if you don't get up, if you don't start leading the people into the promised land, my Tennessee is coming out now. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Okay? And so, how many of us, and this is one of the things the pastor has talked about in his series on inheritance, we're still waiting for God to do something he's already done. We're still waiting for God to heal us. We're still waiting for God to heal our finances. Okay? We're still waiting for God to bring forth the promises that he's already promised us. We're waiting for him to do that. Okay? But see, God told Joshua, it's done. The only thing you got to do now, Joshua, is just get up and start walking into the promised land and take the people with you. Okay? And see, everything that Jesus died for, it's done. It's done. I really like the way Gary Carpenter talks about living in a place called done. That's when your faith becomes what? Sight. When you're living in a place called done. Okay? Now, verse 5. There should not be any man, Joshua, who will be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. There's not anyone, Joshua, who's going to be able to challenge you. Why? As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. No one challenged Moses, okay, and lived to talk about it, okay? You remember with the Korah and the 250 who rose up against Moses, challenged Moses, and I love this. I love this. Moses got upset, and God says, no, I got this one. I got this one. Moses, you go over there, and everybody who wants to live, go with Moses. You don't want to live, you stay over here. I got this one, Moses. I got this one. What happened to Korah? Done. Stick a fork in it. You know, when I read that record about Cora, I'm a big Andy Griffith fan, and my mind goes back to Gomer. Stupid, stupid, stupid. I mean, this is the same guy, Cora, that you saw hold up his staff in the Red Sea parted. And you're going to go against him? I don't think so. God parts water for this guy. I'm not going to fuss with him, okay? And see, think about what God did with Jesus. Didn't have to part water. Jesus walked on it. Okay? No, you know, he just walked on it. So my point in all that is God wants to treat us the same way he treated Jesus. But until our faith becomes sight, he can't do it. He can't do it. Okay? I want you to look what he tells Joshua in verse 5. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. In chapter 1, verse 5, he tells Joshua, no one will be able to defeat you, Joshua. I will be with you, Joshua. I will be faithful to you, Joshua, just like I was to Moses. Okay? Now, let me ask you something. Remember I started this message out by saying Joshua was not ready to take the children of Israel to the promised land. Did I not say that? What is God doing? He's getting him ready. See, it's one thing to know that you have a responsibility before God, but it's a completely different thing to take that first step to see it happening. God is trying to get Joshua. He's saying, you need to start walking. It's a done deal, Joshua. Look at what I did with Moses. It's a done deal, Grace Christian. Saying, look what I did with Jesus. It's a done deal. Only thing you got to do now is start walking in what I've already given you. Okay? Now, what do I do with my glasses? One day I won't need these. Verse 6. Now, he says, Joshua, I want you to be strong and be of good courage. Okay? In other words, I can remember Doris. For those of you who don't know Doris, that's my wife. Early in our marriage, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but she says, you know what? You need to grow up and be a man. Yeah. I was 20 years old at the time. You need to grow up. I had just been 2 years away from being in my mom and dad's home. And now she's saying, you need to grow up and be a man. That is what God is telling Joshua. You need to grow up. Be a man and do what I called you to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to grow up. We cannot remain spiritual babes and think that we're going to do anything for God. We have got to grow up. Okay? He says, be strong. Be of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide an inheritance. Okay? For inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So we see here then that the type that we're looking at is what I am about to describe is faith. You take God at his word. You trust him completely to do what he says he will do. That's faith. You take him at his word and you trust him to do what he says he's going to do. And that's what he's telling Joshua. Moses trusted me, Joshua. He's telling us, Jesus trusted me, folks. You have to do the same thing. Okay? Verse 7. Well, before we do that, Joshua knew that his job was to lead people into the promised land, to their inheritance. One of the things that we have a responsibility of doing is in, hold your finger here, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. One of our responsibilities, and it is an awesome responsibility. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You see that? The word reconcile when you look at your notes here, did I put them in here? Oh, I didn't put them in there. I kept that part of the notes for myself. Okay. The word reconcile means to repair and restore the relationship, to return to the original intent. Okay. What was the original intent? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Man is going to look like me. Man is going to act like me. Man is going to rule in my place. That was God's original intent. Okay? And man in that original intent had the life and nature of God on the inside. Okay? When we reconcile, we are giving people that opportunity to once again have God's life and nature if they accept Jesus. God, isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Man, that's a biggie, folks. That's a big one. I mean, you have the ability to save someone from spending eternity without God. It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't. It doesn't get any better than that. And we have the awesome privilege of doing that. It should just give you goosebumps. Really, give you goosebumps. That God would trust us to do that because he can't. No. God can't save anyone unless we help him. That's an awesome responsibility. Okay? Look in verse 7. It says, only, this is the second time God has told Joshua this. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Okay? Now, this word prosper means to be prudent. It means to be able to act with insight, understanding, and devotion. Okay? It means hear from God, do what God wants you to do. That's what prosper means. Now, based on what we read here in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, what will cause us to prosper? Okay, I'll tell you. Okay, doing what God tells you to do. That's going to cause you to prosper. Okay, when you do all according to the law in which my servant Moses commanded you to do. Do what I tell you to do and you will prosper. Okay, do what I tell you to do and you will prosper. Now, Jesus tells us that as long as you are doing things for the kingdom, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make sure your needs are met. I'm going to make sure you have food on your on the table. You have a roof over your head. You got clothes. You got gasoline, no matter how much it costs per gallon. When you are living for the kingdom, when you are doing things for the kingdom, I'm going to take care of you. Okay? It's not about how much you earn on this paycheck. Now, see, if you think God can only take care of you based on how much you earn on your paycheck, you have no idea what it is to live in inheritance. Because, see, you've already cut God off. You're saying, God, whatever you do for me, you have to do. This is where you can do it, in this paycheck right here. And God's upstairs, up in heaven saying, you need some remediation. Okay? You need to go back and see what my word says. Because I am not limited by your paycheck. And see, that's one of the things that we as Christians have to get into our minds. God is not limited by what we bring home on a weekly, biweekly, or monthly basis. That's a starting point for him. That's a starting point. Okay? Everything launches from that point. But see, it's all based on, are you doing things for the kingdom? Okay? Verse 8. And we're winding down. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, I remember the first time I read that, and I said, it cannot depart out of my mouth. So that means that I can't say it? No, that's not what that means. It means that every time you have something to say, it needs to be in agreement with God's word. Because that's your focus. Okay? Remember what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4 when Satan tempted him? It is written. Remember he says that? Over and over, he brought Satan back to God's word. It is written. That is what God is telling Joshua. The book of the law, it shall not depart out of your mouth, Joshua, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. When the book of the law, Joshua, doesn't depart out of your mouth, when you meditate on the book of the law, Joshua, then, see what it says in the latter part of verse 8, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and thou shalt have good success. So our success is based on what? Our obedience to this. That's what it's based on, guys. This is the only thing that matters to God, that we are obedient to his word. Because, see, when we're obedient to his word, then we start to move into the slave category. Okay? Because, see, the slave was not concerned about anything because he knew that his master took care of all his needs. Okay? So you move into the slave category where you know that as long as I'm doing everything my God wants me to do, then my God is going to supply all my need according to his riches, not my paycheck, his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So what is it that you need? I have been sick for the last 3 weeks. I can't seem to shake it. My God is going to supply all your need according to his riches in glory. He can take care of that sickness for you. So don't think that, you know, God supplies all your need and it's just money. Okay. It's whatever your need is. Okay. Whatever your need. Quick story. Quick antidote. A person told me one time, says, Barry, if money can take care of your issues, you don't have any issues. Because, see, there are people who have bukus of money. And they have no health. No amount of money is going to get them health. So if money can solve your problem, you don't have a problem. Okay? You don't have a problem. You have a discipline problem. Money is not your problem. Your discipline is your issue. Okay? Bonus. Don't charge you for that. You know, share it liberally. You can even take credit for that one if you like. Okay? Okay, let's end this up. So we see here in verse 8 that our prosperity is based on relationship. Now, I want you to see the progression here in verse 8. God's word is to determine what you say and how you say it. You speak the word to yourself, where it says meditate on day and night. The word meditate means to mutter, to speak, to talk to yourself. And what you're doing is confessing God's word. That's what it's talking about. Your way becomes prosperous. And then you will have good success. Okay? That's the progression. Now let's wind it up. What does God say in verse 9? Have I not commanded thee, Joshua, to be strong and of a good courage? Let me see. One, two. That's the third time. That's the third time. Okay? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Okay? The Lord is with you wherever you go. And let me tell you something, folks. Well, before I tell you that, God talked with Joshua the way he did because Joshua needed it. Okay? He needed it because he was not ready to take Israel to the promised land. The reason this message talks to us the way it does is because for some of us, we have not been ready to go into our promised land. Okay? we have not been ready to go into our promised land. And so God is telling us, looking at where we are today, for example, our promised land is that you shall pray for the sick and they shall recover. That's our promised land. That's our inheritance, okay? But what if I pray for the person and it doesn't work? What if I cast a demon out and it doesn't work? What if, what if, what if, okay? What ifs builds a barrier between you and God's promises being fulfilled in your life? Okay? Get the what ifs out of your mind. Get the whys out of your mind. Why not? Why did this? Why that? And just say, okay, God, what do I need to do to make my faith sight? What do I need to do to make my faith sight? And have a pencil in hand, because he's going to tell you what you need to do to make your faith sight. Okay? Now, in this record from Joshua chapter 1, God is telling us not to be afraid and consumed with the what ifs that life will throw at us. His command is simple. Be confident. Be at peace. Keep your thoughts focused on my word. Meditate on my word. Speak my word. Fear nothing. Don't be swayed by what you see and what you feel, what you hear. Don't be swayed by any of those things. I'm with you when you're obeying me. I'm with you wherever you go, and I'm ready to give you everything you need to be prosperous. Okay? Everything you need to be prosperous. And see, that's what God wants to do for us. But see, we have to get to the point in our lives that we are not afraid to take God at his word. Because that's what really it amounts to. God has told us that I'm going to do certain things for you if you would just trust me, if you would just believe me. And see, we sit here in church. I'm guilty. I admit it. I say I trust God. I say that everything I own, God, it's available to you to do what you want to do with it. Okay? But see, I'm also honest enough with myself to know God has not asked me for anything major yet. That's when the rubber's going to hit the road. Am I just really talking a good game, or am I really a slave? Because see, if God asks me, how many cars do we have? Four? Stephen's got one. Candace got one. I drive. Doris drives, okay? If God comes up and says, Barry, there's this family that needs a vehicle. I want you to give them one of them. And I say, okay, which one do you want? I want you to give them the Oldsmobile. Hey, that's mine. we got a van you can give him. We got a Ford Contour. The Oldsmobile is mine, God. Oh, man, I'm going to give him my Oldsmobile. Now, Barry, are you smart enough to realize that if God's asking you to give the Oldsmobile, he's not going to leave you without a car or without a vehicle, okay? But see, we have to get to the point that God's word is who we are. And see, Moses was at that point. He knew God's word was who he was. You know, I'm like Jeremiah. You know, he was like Jeremiah. You know, God told Jeremiah to do something. Jeremiah says, you know, I avoided trying to do it, God, but, you know, your word was like a fire in my bones. Everywhere I turn, I'm faced with your word, God. I have to do what you tell me to do. I have no choice. And then he says, thy word was found, God, and I ate it. And then your word to me, God, was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I found your word, God. Jeremiah went looking for it. See, when we go looking for God, he says we'll find him. When we go looking for ways to bless his people, he's going to find us. And he's going to allow us to bless his people. Okay? But see, the first thing we have to do is we got to get up. I started to shorten the title. I put on it, get up and claim your inheritance. I probably should say, get up, exclamation point. Because that's where it starts. We have to get up and start moving in the direction that's going to lead to us walking in our inheritance. Because until that happens, we're just on the sideline looking in. Just looking in. Wow, I wish I had that. Oh, man, that inheritance looks so good. I wish I had that. Well, you get up and start walking toward it. You'll get it. It's a promise. You'll get it. You'll get it. God is good. All the time he's good. He is so good. And his word is so good. And it blesses me to be able to get into the word, even when I never preach it. I just love getting into it. Because, see, it's about getting buried to the point that my faith becomes sight.